We're talking about political correctness in this hour. And really what it all comes down to for a lot of people is tolerance of different ideas and people and ways of living. Who wouldn't want the world to be a more tolerant place?
Every creature has to put up with and tolerate certain things you'd rather not tolerate. My concern is what happens when that practice becomes a political practice and comes to focus on and naturalize the position of certain groups.
Wendy Brown teaches political science at UC Berkeley, and she's written a lot on the subject of tolerance. She says when the goal is equality, the language of tolerance sometimes gets in the way. Steve Paulson talked with her.
Wendy, tolerance is a slippery term. When you're using it in a political context, what exactly do you mean?
It is a slippery term. The trouble with tolerance is that we all think we know exactly what it means. And it usually has, in a political and moral sense, a very warm and inviting and benign and virtuous quality. It sounds like the opposite of persecution, death, excommunication, and so forth.
And the opposite of intolerance, which is a value that no one wants.
Exactly. So those seem to be where tolerance sits, and that only looks good. And the problem with that initial intuition is that it leads us to forget something, which is that first, tolerance always means that you are handling something you'd rather not, whether it's a alcohol tolerance for a body or tolerance of error in engineering or minting, or whether it's tolerance in a multicultural society. Tolerance conveys and carries the idea that one is dealing with something to which one has an aversion.
Hmm. So it's something that you don't fully accept. You kind of realize, okay, it's real. These people or these behaviors are out there, but you don't really like them. But you'll tolerate them.
You may really loathe them. Tolerance is often invoked when you're having to handle something you just really can't stand. So we invoke tolerance to be able to handle these things. But that's only half the problem.
What's the other half?
The other half of the problem is that tolerance was coined in the West in the Reformation to deal with religious belief. And tolerance of different religious beliefs is not really such a bad idea in my view. It simply accepts that we have different gods or godheads and worship at different kinds of altars or no altar at all. And that's probably necessary for any contemporary society.
Well, and if you go back to, let's say, the Protestant Reformation, I mean, Catholics and Protestants were killing each other over,
exactly,
over different religious beliefs. I mean, maybe that's the best you could hope for, tolerance.
Exactly. There. So I'm not going to argue with you there. But what do we use tolerance for today? We don't use it for differences of belief. Our most common way of speaking about tolerance and deploying tolerance has to do with different identities. We tolerate peoples, not beliefs. We tolerate races or cultures or people of certain sexual identities, and that's how tolerance gets used today. And that's a different story, because that means we're not just accepting the idea that we have different beliefs, but we're reinforcing something, that there are these fundamental identities, which tolerance itself has a tendency to kind of naturalize, and that we need to tolerate them. Now, what's the alternative? Instead of dealing with questions of equality or freedom or inclusion, we bring out tolerance. And tolerance keeps the aversion going, it keeps the hostility going, but it also always comes from the dominant. And that's the other big problem with tolerance, that tolerance always is something that in politics or in moral life, a dominant group decides to extend to a subordinate group.
Can you give me an example of that?
Sure. So a good example would be the Republican Party view on same-sex marriage as it was articulated by George Bush when he was in office. And what he said is, I don't believe in same-sex marriage. I don't believe in marriage equality. But I do believe in tolerance for gays. And he meant something really quite clear, which is, I don't think we should kill them. I don't think we should injure or persecute them. I think we should allow them to live. But they're not equal. And their relationships are not equal.
Yeah, but there's another way to look at that. You're talking about trying to overturn historical attitudes where certain groups were targeted. I mean, they were definitely considered inferior, and maybe you have to have tolerance as kind of this transitional period before you can kind of see this other group as fully equal.
That's possible, but here's what I worry about in that idea. If one is extending tolerance toward a people, teaching tolerance, practicing tolerance, believing that tolerance is the right approach, the question is, where are equality and freedom on the horizon? And what I mean is, tolerance came to be the dominant way that we talked about multiculturalism and sexual difference in the 80s, the 90s, and the present. It's taught in schools, it's posted in libraries, it's preached in neighborhoods and churches and so forth. And the question is, when and where does tolerance push out larger projects of equality, justice, emancipation? And that's what I think has happened.
So you think that is even today? I mean, when there's all this talk about, I mean, for instance, there are a lot of organizations that have multicultural awareness workshops. I've been through one myself. Lots of groups, police officers, all kinds of other groups have diversity training. You're saying part of the problem is sometimes the values of tolerance are brought in there rather than something more really inclusive?
I'm suggesting that the language of tolerance as we use it for people today rather than beliefs is a language that reinforces the idea that there are A, deep and even natural differences among us, and B, that tolerance is the right way to deal with that. And what I'm suggesting is most of what we call difference is actually the historical product of inequality. And tolerance reinforces the idea that it's simply difference, and what we have to do is learn to just live with differences. And I'm also suggesting that it reinforces the norm at the center. It shores up and it establishes the idea that there's a norm and then there are differences that you have to tolerate. I'm not against it. I'm just suggesting that it's come to supplant a language and an attention to issues of power and equality and freedom. It's really become our language of justice today.
Is this a new way of thinking about tolerance? I mean, these ideas that you've been describing now, I mean, is this something that's sort of come on the scene in the last couple decades or so?
Yes. Tolerance had almost no play or place in political life until really the 80s with the explosion of so-called multicultural societies and demands for emancipation and demands for equality from subordinate groups. That's when tolerance emerges. Huh.
So you're suggesting it was sort of a veneer of accepting these other groups without really doing so.
I'm saying it's a taming response, and one way to kind of take the temperature here is to ask people how they feel about being tolerated. Do they feel like they're equals? Do they feel included? Do they feel like they get to decide the terms on which life is lived? Or do they feel kind of licensed to be included so long as they behave in a certain way? And I'm suggesting the latter. Anyone who lives by virtue of being tolerated as a group or as an identity knows that that tolerance has conditions, it has a price, and they know it's not equality.
And you're saying tolerance becomes a substitute for equality.
Exactly.
Okay, so what do we do about this? Let's talk about, say, at the, I don't know, in high schools. You know, if tolerance is not the way to go, how should we teach these values of equality?
Well, I think there are a number of high school teachers who are interested in helping students understand why certain groups are hated, why certain people are reviled, and why certain people are angry and frustrated by virtue of their histories, rather than simply teaching their students to tolerate one another. It's not that difficult. It's really not. And what I found when I was doing a good deal of research on tolerance and talking to various kinds of audiences about tolerance a few years back is that it was very, very easy for people to understand. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times people said to me after a talk, I have always been uncomfortable with the language of tolerance, but it's what we have in our, you know, fill in the blank, nursery school, neighborhood association, student learning center, church group, and I've always been uncomfortable with it, and now I see why I'm so uncomfortable with it. It's not addressing the problem, and it's not making, I don't want to be a tolerated human being. So it's not that difficult to understand, but it's amazing how smoothly the discourse of tolerance works.
Wendy Brown teaches political science at UC Berkeley. She's the author of Regulating Aversion, Tolerance in the Age of Empire and Identity. Steve Paulson talked with her